members and the fact that that smearing attempt has backfired. I certainly hope so, and we'll be taking a look at this story along with many others with Mark Glenn when he joins us shortly. Rita in Texas, you're on the line for Mark Gankoff. Go ahead, Rita.
Good morning, Mark.
Hi, how are you?
Contemplative. I wanted to address this issue about the intimidation, really, of all the American people with regards to Lieutenant Commander John Sharp.
Sure.
In the history of the United States, we had a man that was called Peter Zenger, and he was publishing articles that were true, but not very flattering of the king. And it was against the law to do that. And he was, I believe it was Alexander Hamilton, who was the defense in that particular instance was that although it was against the law to do what he did, the defense that the lawyer was giving was that if they convicted Peter Zenger, then he would be punished for speaking the truth. And as a result of that, with jury nullification and the application of justice, Peter Zenger was not convicted. I firmly believe that this instance of Lieutenant Commander John Sharp is an exact example of what happened to Peter Zenger. Prior to the reign of Oliver Cromwell, Jews were not allowed in England. After Oliver Cromwell came to power, the Jews were allowed in England. And the Jews have this habit of doing this type of technique in order to subvert and undermine any opposition to their rule. Now, I listen to many people here on RBM talk about, oh, we may get rounded up, you know, we may have, you know, military law. Well, you know, there was a civil war that did happen in the 19th century, but there was another one that happened in the 20th century. Do you remember the 1960s civil rights riots?
Yes.
That was a civil war. And I firmly believe that we're going to have another civil war because, I think that what is happening, you know, the communists, which are the Jews, they use language as a weapon. And the key code word for communism or Jewish domination is democracy. Democracy is not our form of government. Our form of government is a republican form of government because a republic is let the law rule. Whereas in a democracy, that means let the majority rule. So to say that we're a democratic republic is an oxymoron. It's like one saying that one is a Christian Satanist. It just is not true.
Did you notice when I was, I don't know if you were listening to the show at the point this morning where I was reading Noam Chomsky's piece on Iran, and, you know, he does the very thing that you point out here, Rita. On the one hand, I agree with Chomsky, as I would with Buchanan on the right, that this idea of attacking Iran is simply a loser. It's a non-starter. And yet there are two things in the Chomsky piece that I notice at the same time. One is that at least in this article, he does not mention at all, as near as I can tell, the central role of the Israeli lobby in promoting this idea of our attacking Iran. The other thing that he does, which is more to the point in regard to your comment here, is that he starts talking about democracy. And when you read about what he believes democracy to be, it's quite clear that he is basically someone who, in my view, accepts some pretty collectivist socialistic notions about the nature of the way the political system should be in this country and elsewhere. And that talk about democracy in that article was undertaken in conjunction with all of this talk about the United Nations, which presumably is a form of collectivism on a globalist scale. So I think you're exactly right on this, that when most of these people talk about democracy, and I'm thinking about people on the left that we agree with in a few things related to this war, but when they start talking about democracy in the UN, look out. We'll be back. This is Mark Gankoff, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We will be back with Mark Glenn of Crescent and Cross, and maybe some further comments from Rita. Stay tuned.
found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We would like to greet our new affiliate, WMQM AM 1600 in Memphis, Tennessee. That's a 50,000-watt station that is going to be bringing Mark Dankos America and the Republic Broadcasting Network to a much wider conventional radio audience in the American South. We are joined today by Mark Glenn of Crescent and Cross and the American Free Press. And I hope that we're not simply joined by Mark today, but that our plan will take hold, that every Friday hereafter, until the Lord returns or God does some other great thing to indicate otherwise, Mark and I will be together every Friday on this show for 2 hours talking about the past week, both in regard to some of the guests that I've had on this show and some of the points that they've made, pro or con, as well as many of the other issues and topics of the day that Mark and I deem important in regard to things that we need to be aware of as we seem to be moving toward a wider conflict in the Middle East and a coming to a head of some things that Mark Glenn has been warning us about for a very long time in relationship to the role of the Israeli lobby in both the domestic affairs of this country as well as the foreign policy of the United States and what it is that we can be doing to combat this cancerous influence in our nation while there's yet time to do it. And in regard to that, before I officially say hello to Mark, I will mention what I have already mentioned in my new post for Breaking All the Rules News American Memory Program, where I have listed something there about Dr. Hesham Talawi's interview with Ward Boston. In the text of that announcement, which will lead you directly into the two-hour interview that Dr. Talawi did with Ward Boston, I also mentioned something at the bottom of that news release that links the reader to the website of Mark Glenn at Crescent and Cross, and also mentions the fact that Mark is working for the American Free Press, and specifically that Mark is now writing a major story on the USS Liberty for near-term publication in AFP nationwide. This is a most important story, this USS Liberty tragedy, as we've been talking about it in recent days and weeks on this show, as it relates to not only what happened to these men on June the 8th, 1967, almost exactly 40 years ago, but what that USS Liberty tragedy continues to say about who and what it is that is driving, disastrously so, the foreign policy of this country headlong into a Middle Eastern military quagmire. Look for that Mark Glenn piece when it comes out in the American Free Press. When it does, I guarantee that you won't be disappointed. Mark, how are you, sir?
Marcus, how are you?
Very good. Hey, listen, when is your piece on the USS Liberty scheduled to come out in AFP?
Well, actually, what we'll be doing is one piece a week for the next several months as a means of building up to the anniversary of the attack, which, of course, was June 8, 1967. So the first piece went to press this last Thursday, not yesterday, but a week ago from yesterday. And so it should have already gotten into the hands of American Free Press readers.
Well, that's outstanding. And again, so it's going to be a part of a series of articles. I think probably that's the best way of doing it for a couple of reasons. One is there are so many angles on this USS Liberty tragedy that it's really difficult to know where to begin. And then the other thing that you and I have talked about before is that this story bears constant reiteration, so that a previously uninformed and largely comatose public might begin to allow some of the implications of that attack to sink in. Is that correct?
Yes. I mean, we have, of course, the events that took place that day with regards to the attack itself. But then we have the follow-up to that, which was the cover-up. And then, of course, preceding all of it, which was all of the machinations that were taking place that set these men up for this attack. So it really is, if you were to take this event from beginning up to the present, it really is a microcosm of the larger problem that we are dealing with here in the United States, and really what I would say throughout the Western world, because it certainly is not just an American problem. It is something that all of Western Christendom deals with, and this is, I guess this is one of the things, one of the themes that I'm trying to drive home to people, is that this is not just merely a political problem that can be solved by scooping up the neocons and getting them out of our government. It's much more pervasive than that. The cancer really has infected the body from head to toe, and if we're really serious about eradicating this cancer, we're going to have to hit it at several sectors. So anyway, with regards to Liberty, as I said, it's going to be covering several different angles. We'll be talking to some of the men who were there that day. I just interviewed an intelligence officer with the U.S. Air Force for this week's piece, who was in a listening post, who distinctly heard the radio chatter taking place between these Israeli pilots and ground control, indicating that they knew that it was an American ship. And so it's, as I said, there are several different characters who are involved in this who are going to be discussed, so that the readers of American Free Press can get a better idea as to what took place that day.
Well, you know, in conjunction with this interview you did with this guy in Air Force Intelligence, Mark, this connects to something that I think really needs to be hit hard on the air by me on an ongoing basis. When Commander Dave Lewis of the USS Liberty was on this show some days ago, among many other things, he made reference to a jaybird that I had never heard of before that plays a very interesting and, in my view, diabolical role in this whole story of the Liberty. This is a U.S. bankruptcy court judge, I believe now retired, in the state of Florida, a guy named Jay Crystal, Ahron Jay Crystal, spelled with a C. Obviously Jewish, And this U.S. bankruptcy court judge in Florida, who has no combat experience in the U.S. Navy, although he was in the Navy, he is not a military historian. He was not present in any way, shape, or form on June 8th, 1967, in anything that pertained to the USS Liberty. And yet this Jewish bankruptcy court judge in Florida, according to Commander Lewis, made 13 trips to Israel in order to subsequently write a book on the USS Liberty that exonerated Israel and basically parroted the Israeli party line that Israel made a mistake and that it was a tragic case of a friendly fire incident, and that there should be no suggestion that the actions of Israel were in any way premeditated or deliberate when it came to attacking a ship of the United States Navy. Now, this guy that you're talking about, Mark, that you interviewed for this AFP piece, is apparently one of two guys who were in American intelligence at that time who picked up on these transmissions. And this Air Force guy, was he not in South Vietnam at the time?
This fellow was not. He was in the Mediterranean.
Mediterranean, okay.
Yeah, now the one that I interviewed for this piece was stationed off the island of Crete. The other fellow, who is well known to those who are familiar with Liberty, he was stationed in Vietnam at the time.
Gotcha.
And so, of course, the importance of this being is that you have people from extremely diverse parts of the world hearing the same thing. That's the important part of this, is that it's not just an anomaly that one guy heard it in the Mediterranean. You also had another guy hearing it all the way as far east as Da Nang. So, of course, that is the important thing, is that it would be very difficult for anybody trying to run interference on the story to say, well, these guys were sitting in the same post in the Mediterranean. They probably were anti-Jewish by their nature, and they've made this whole thing up. No, these two guys didn't know each other. One was an officer, and one was an enlisted man. So, obviously, you know, that is the pertinence to that. But it's interesting that you bring up Jay Crystal, because that is going to be one of the angles that we are going to explore in American Free Press on this story. You know, Jay Crystal, we have to remember that this book that he wrote, you know, some people will say, well, okay, so he wrote a book, big deal. Well, this book is basically used as the defining document that senators, U.S. congressmen, anybody out there who is confronted with the question of the USS Liberty, their stock answer is, oh, that issue has already been settled in a definitive work that was written a few years ago, written by Judge Jay Crystal, blah, 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 blah. So it's not just that a book was written, but this book has been forced into the hands of virtually every elected member of Congress in some form or another, and this book is used as the Bible, as it were, in settling the USS Liberty case. As I said, we're going to be doing an in-depth study of who Judge Jay Crystal is. You mentioned that he is a bankruptcy judge and that he made 13 trips to Israel, but he also is very cozy with Israel's military and intelligence apparatus. From what I understand, he has two bodyguards who are former Mossad agents, at which point, of course, the American people have got to ask themselves the question, what is an American judge doing with two bodyguards, not the least of which are two former intelligence agents for the nation of Israel?
So, yeah, and the whole thing absolutely smells. And to me, when Dave Lewis, Commander Dave Lewis, first mentioned this guy's name, and I wrote it down as I was making some notes as Commander Lewis was speaking, I later went in and did just some cursory Google research on this judge. It was absolutely incredible to me to read William Hughes' piece on Jay Crystal entitled "Liberty Smearing Backfires." I put a link to this piece in my publicity for Hesham Talawi's interview with Ward Boston when I posted that with Breaking All the Rules News, and Al Jazeera .info was kind enough today to run that whole release with the URL links, including a mentioning of Mark Glenn. When we come back, I want to cover something further on this guy, Jay Crystal, with Mark Glenn, that I think suggests something about the way the Jewish lobby operates in the United States. We'll be back. This is Mark Gankoff's America coming to you. live from San Antonio on RBN. Stay tuned.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are joined today on this Good Friday by Mark Glenn of Crescent and Cross and the American Free Press. I am really looking forward to reading this Mark Glenn series ongoingly that's going to be in AFP in regard to this whole USS Liberty tragedy. And just to put a personal but sincere plug in for Mark Glenn on this show, I think of four people in my life who have been used of God to bring me to a different place over the years on this whole question of Zionism and Israel and the Israeli lobby. The first I would mention would be Herman Otten, the Lutheran editor of Christian News in New Haven, Missouri. Some of the kinds of things that Mark and I now talk about on a routine basis amongst ourselves and also in public forums were things that I had never heard of until I began reading Pastor Otten's newspaper. And he was one of the few voices in Christendom who had the courage and continues to have it in regard to publishing things on the USS Liberty and on a whole host of other things related to the Israeli lobby and what it has really done to this country. The second would be Gordon Thomas, the British writer. He and I crossed paths on the internet some years ago after I had reviewed his book, Gideon Spies, The Secret History of the Israeli Mossad, which is a St. Martin's Press publication. I also reviewed Seeds of Fire, a sequel that Gordon Thomas wrote, which has been published by Carol Adler's Dandelion Books in recent years. And suffice it to say that reading Gordon Thomas's books and subsequently having some long-distance telephone conversations with him years ago on some of these matters opened my eyes even further. Then there were two other guys that came along at a later point in my life. Michael Collins Piper was one of them, of American Free Press, and I was starting to have email exchanges with Michael, and he would graciously send me gratis copies of his books because he really saw me as someone that needed to understand further what all of this was all about. The other person, the fourth one that I would mention over the air, is our guest today, Mark Glenn of Crescent and Cross and the American Free Press. He rounds out that interesting group of four, Herman Otten, Gordon Thomas, and Michael Collins Piper. That select group, along with Mark Glenn, has really brought me to a different place from where I would have been 20, 25, 30 years ago on some of these subjects, not because my heart was in the wrong place, but because I didn't know any better. And people like Otten and Piper and Mark Glenn can take heart from the fact that the fruits of their labors have at least informed a few of us as to what has happened, and to the extent that for the remainder of my life, God uses me to help anyone else along this pathway, I will be forever indebted to these four men that I have just mentioned here on this show this morning. Mark, getting back to this whole question then of Jay Crystal, when I read William Hughes' piece on this, entitled Liberty Smearing Backfires, there were a number of things that absolutely made my blood boil. One is that, as Commander Lewis pointed out on my show the other day, Crystal has apparently libeled Commander Lewis, among many other people who were a part of the Liberty, in Crystal's ongoing efforts to whitewash this whole thing, presumably on behalf of the Israeli intelligence community. Secondarily, as I had pointed out on my show with Commander Lewis at the time, and both you and William Hughes underscored here, Mark, Crystal has absolutely no credentials in this area whatsoever. He is not a U.S. Navy combat veteran. He had nothing to do with the USS Liberty in any way, shape, or form on June the 8th, 1967. He is a self-described amateur historian, quote-unquote, and to the extent that he has written a book on the Liberty incident, he has relied on versions of these events coming directly from the accused. And yet when you put all of those facts together in conjunction with the fact that Crystal's version of things is contradicted by ex-Secretary of State Dean Rusk, it is contradicted by the ex-chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Moore, Thomas Moore. There are three separate CIA reports that contradict Crystal on this, including one that indicates that the command decision to attack the Liberty came directly from Israeli General Moshe Dayan. That, in conjunction with the eyewitness accounts that you and I are getting from these USS Liberty guys, makes a very, very compelling case for the fact that Crystal's book is not only complete bunk, it's Israeli intelligence disinformation, and yet, as you point out, Mark, between the Congress and the fact that Crystal showed up a few years ago at the NSA's National Cryptology Museum to promote his book and to give away signed copies of it, it's pretty clear that he's getting a lot of backing, not only for the book that he has written, but the distribution of this whole thing. And it's just amazing that something that has absolutely no credibility, that is totally morally compromised, could be seen in establishment circles as the Bible of truth in this whole matter.
Well, keep something else in mind, too. You know, on a daily basis, on various talk shows around the country, not including RBN, of course, but on these various talk shows, whether it's Bill O'Reilly or Limbaugh or Hannity or any of these other screeching dogs for the Zionist agenda, what we hear on a regular basis is you've got to be in support of America and you have to support the troops. And I'll finish this thought when we come back.
Yes, when we come back, Mark Glenn will continue with this line of analysis for us. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Mark Glenn of AFP and Crescent and Cross. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the Success Team and their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com is a global opportunity.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine-tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
Sometimes I think life is just a rodeo. The trick is to ride, make it to the bell. But there is a place sweet as you will ever know.
We're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our very special guest today, this Good Friday, and hopefully every Friday hereafter, is Mark Glenn of Crescent and Cross and the American Free Press. We've been talking quite a bit today, this morning, about the USS Liberty and this Judge Jay Crystal, who has been engaged in disinformation spin on the Liberty incident, presumably for the Israeli intelligence community. And Mark was just starting to make a point about this whole business of O'Reilly and some of these other talk show hosts and the way they spin this stuff. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, what it boils down to is this. You know, we're lectured on a daily basis by these guys that we have to be patriotic, we have to support the troops and all the rest of that. What it boils down to in the case of the Liberty And every event dealing with Israel that has followed, by the way, is this. Do you believe the troops, or do you believe those who murdered our troops? That really is what it boils down to. To side with those who murdered 34 of our young men 40 years ago, and who have worked in some capacity to cover this murder up, is to support America's enemies, and by definition, that is treason. Now, this is the beautiful thing about the Liberty Incident, is that there aren't any wild conspiracy theories surrounding it. You don't have to have a Ph.D. in metallurgy or physics or anything else in order to grasp the idea that what took place that day was an act of war. You know, with 9/11, there's a lot of difficulty in proving the case because there are so many moving parts to it. And the American people just are not, in my opinion, up to snuff when it comes to understanding things of this sort. But they do understand when an American ship was attacked and 34 young men were murdered, deliberately murdered. Now, you will have these people, of course, coming forward saying, well, this was a case of mistaken identity, we didn't know, and all the rest of that. But we have eyewitnesses to this who say otherwise. So what it boils down to, O'Reilly, Limbaugh, Hannity, and every member of Congress who has sat by and done nothing while an act of war was perpetrated against the people of the United States 40 years ago, what it boils down to is that you're either going to stand with your troops who were murdered or you're going to stand by those who murdered them. In my definition, one boils down to patriotism and the other boils down to treason. So this is the beautiful thing about the Liberty Incident, is that it may be this very thing that causes this whole horrid, hellish fabric to unwind. It's like a piece of fabric where you pull one thread and the whole thing can fall apart. It may very well be that this has been sitting here for the last 40 years, like seeds that have been lying dormant during the winter. And now the season has changed to the point where these seeds are ready to grow. And so this is why I personally have taken this on to have a discussion on this on a regular basis, which is to remind people, hey, the only difference between what took place with the Liberty and what took place in Pearl Harbor is that the Japanese did not have a propaganda infrastructure in place at that time in order to be able to cover it up. Both were just as much an act of war. The problem is, though, is that the Americans, they do not realize that this entity known as Israel is at war with her. But I can assure you that the Israelis are well aware of it. They know that they are at war with America. Everything that they do in terms of corrupting our political system, the various false flag operations against America that have taken place is proof of this, not just the Liberty. We have to remember that this has happened several times in some capacity. We have the Levon affair that took place in Egypt when American buildings were bombed by Jewish terrorists, done for the purpose of blaming it on the Arabs. We have the bombing of the Marine barracks in Beirut in 1983, where the Israelis knew about this and they allowed it to take place. And, of course, we have the mother of all of them, which is 9/11. And also, you know, I might add, it's my personal theory that Oklahoma City was a Mossad operation that got botched at the last second. I think that the plan was that this was going to be the thing that was going to launch America into a war against Iraq, but that Clinton refused to play along with it. And then, so they, in order to at least gain some kind of political mileage out of this, they blamed it on these right-wing extremists. But my personal theory, based on pieces of evidence that I've seen, is that Oklahoma City was supposed to be, or was supposed to bring about what 9/11 brought about. And so this is the thing. The American people have got to be made aware of the fact that there is a state of war that exists between the state of Israel and the American people. And the sooner that they are made aware of that, the sooner that we can get down to the business of reclaiming our country.
Yes, and just to affirm what you're saying here, Mark, I know just on the Oklahoma City situation alone that Mike Piper has some information on that in the Judas Goats, which I had not seen before, which gives, in my mind, some very, very serious documentation to the thesis that you bring to the listeners today. And again, in conjunction with all of these other things that you're speaking of, the Levon affair, and speaking of Oklahoma City, speaking of the USS Liberty, speaking of 9/11, speaking of several things going on in Lebanon that have been going on in Lebanon in the last several years that don't meet the eye. You have, for example, the assassination of Rafiq Hariri, which, according to the Wall Street Journal and other similar organs in this country, points directly to the government of Syria. When I get into the international press worldwide, they present a body of evidence that suggests that the real player in the whole thing was the Israeli Mossad.
Yes, and we shouldn't be surprised at that. I mean, Israel has been planning on going into Lebanon ever since she was pushed out by Hezbollah about 5 or 6 years ago. You know, this is something the people have got to understand. I mean, for the last 40 years, we've been handed this picture of what Israel is, you know, this beleaguered little state. All they want is a little piece of land that they can call their own so that they don't have to be persecuted. But when you get into the nuts and bolts of Zionism, you understand that it is an ideology that goes way beyond simply possessing a small strip of land along the eastern shores of the Mediterranean. You're talking about an ideology. It's a form of messianic fanaticism where you have a small group of people who really do believe in this nonsense that God favors them over everyone else and that they have been given this this duty to conquer the world and to remake it in their image. And so when you take that into account and you see that it goes way beyond simply holding on to some small piece of land, but that there are these madmen who truly do want to rule the world. You know, and when you realize that, then you realize that we're dealing with a much more dangerous creature here than what we previously imagined. You know, the problem is, of course, is that, you know, we in America, we have been conditioned to react in a knee-jerk fashion whenever anyone brings up any discussion about, you know, plans for world domination and all the rest of this stuff. But what I would remind Americans is this. You know, it's perfectly acceptable for us to believe that there was a plot to rule the world that was hatched and brought to fruition by a man named Hitler 60 years ago. It's perfectly acceptable to believe in a plan for world domination when we're talking about Al-Qaeda or radical Islam. And so, you know, all things being fair, we need to we need to put the same amount of light and consideration on anybody who strives to get hold of that golden ring. And, you know, the Jews are no exception to that. And one last thing that I'll say before finishing this is that we have to ask some other substantive questions as well. You know, if there really is nothing to this, then why is it that this has been a perpetually recurring theme throughout mankind's history in the last 2,000 years? Why is it that there is this quote-unquote old canard, as we're told by the likes of Dave Foxman, that there's this old canard that Jews want to run the world and that they, you know, that they see themselves as better than everyone else? If there's nothing to it, then why is it still hanging around? You know, for me personally, I put a lot of stock in that old adage that when you see smoke, that's good evidence that there's fire there. And I think that we need to rebegin this analysis of this if we stand a chance of surviving not just politically but culturally and morally as well.
Yes, and shortly I want to move into some of these cultural issues with you, Mark, but I wanted to ask you something related to the Pollard spy case and your article for the American Free Press of March 26th on this subject. As I was reading through your account of this, much of which refreshed my memory from the events of that time when the Pollard spy case first became public knowledge in the United States, there was a fact that kind of leaped out at me as I was reading your article. My mind was refreshed that Pollard was a Navy intelligence analyst and that he, of course, had access to information dealing with, as you put it, frequencies and codes used by the ultra-secretive National Security Agency. Now, keeping in mind, now this is perhaps far-fetched, but it just struck me as kind of an odd thing. Keeping in mind that the USS Liberty, of course, was a U.S. Navy vessel keeping in mind that it was equipped with all of this NSA surveillance equipment, according to all accounts, including that of Eric Margolis. Isn't it interesting that some 20-odd years later after the Liberty incident, that we have a major spy case involving an Israeli spy who has infiltrated our own naval intelligence capabilities, and that it involves the Navy and it involves the NSA and their frequencies and codes. And it also involves this whole issue of Russia, which may have played some peripheral role as well in the USS Liberty incident. Is this all coincidence, or is there some strange possible connection that I haven't connected the dots on yet between the Liberty situation and that of the Pollard spy case? What do you think?
Well, first of all, you know, we have to keep in mind that our major intelligence services, not the least of which was the CIA, it began as an outgrowth of naval intelligence, with good reason. I mean, the Navy goes all over the world, so if you want to keep an eye on what's going on, obviously the Navy is the first resource that you're going to tap into. So that's number one. Number two, yes, it's true. I mean, a lot of our directors of Central Intelligence and other people involved in the NSA, they started out as Navy guys. Now, with regards to Pollard, yeah, this thing with Pollard and the Liberty is much bigger than we have been led to believe. Another story, by the way, that I am planning to do for American Free Press. The whole issue involving the Soviet Union and the Liberty attack, there is much more to it than we have been led to believe. I was speaking the other night with one of the survivors of the Liberty, and he said, you know, that when the Liberty was attacked, we came closer to nuclear war that day than we have ever come to before. He said it makes the Cuban Missile Crisis look like nothing. And from what I have been able to glean from looking into this, was that what was really planned that day with regards to the Liberty was that the Zionists wanted to get the Americans and the Soviet Union involved in a nuclear exchange with each other. We know that there are certain anomalies to the story involving the Liberty, not the least of which was that when a distress call went out that the Liberty was attacked, you remember that the jets that were sent from the carrier group, they were nuclear armed, and they were sent to nuke Cairo.
Both the Saratoga and the USS America, as I recall.
Exactly. Now, think
yes.
about this. A U.S. ship is being attacked. Why not send planes that are armed with conventional weapons? Why are you going to send nuclear-armed jets? And we didn't even know yet that Egypt had been in any way involved, supposedly, with the attack on the Liberty. So what that tells me is that a plan was in place, that the whole reason for the Liberty incident was to start a nuclear war that would begin with nuking Cairo, who was an ally of the Soviet Union. So, and I think that with regards to the Pollard case, when we look at George Bush's behavior with regards to this war and the fact that now he's planning on launching this war against Iran, which we stand absolutely no chance of coming out of this smelling pretty in any way. I mean, we are already, we cannot even control Iraq. After 10 years of sanctions and having bombarded them back to the Stone Age, and now he's planning on going to war against one of the most oil-rich countries in the world that controls the Straits of Hormuz, where a good deal of our oil has to pass before it gets here. And so all of this, you know, the picture that is painted here is of a man who's acting extremely irrationally. And the fact of the matter is that not only he, but every member of Congress and every member of his cabinet is as well. If it were just he alone, then we could say, okay, well, he's just blown a gasket here and he's, you know. But the fact is that our entire apparatus, our entire government apparatus is acting like this, at which point we have to ask ourselves, all right, what do they know that we don't know? Is there a nuclear weapon that has been placed in Washington, D.C.? Is there a nuclear weapon that has been placed in every major city in the United States? And we have been told in no uncertain terms that if we don't attack Iran, that these cities are going to be wiped out. I mean, we have to keep this in mind when we are dealing with the Zionists, that they are, just as Moshe Dayan said once, that they are like a mad dog that's too dangerous to bother, to mess with. And so I think that the Pollard situation, you know, when we read some of the quotes and the accounts of the people in the intelligence community, U.S. intelligence community, who are involved in that, and they, you know, they say that we still have not begun to understand the depth of the danger that we have been placed in because of this. My personal gut is that the Israelis have gotten information from this that is of such a damaging nature that basically we have been left defenseless to them, that they can do whatever they want to us, and there's nothing that we can do to defend ourselves. Imagine for a moment, you know, that, you know, you see all these movies, these, you know, outer space movies, you have these spaceships, and they always have a force field or something, a shield of some sort that can protect them from being hit by the enemy's, you know, missiles or whatever. And, you know, there's always a panic on the program when the shields go down. I tend to think that that may be where we are with regards to Israel, is that our shields have been destroyed.
What a fascinating theory. And when we come back, I wanted to ask you a couple of things that were said by DeGenova and by Weinberger in regard to Pollard and how that fits into what you've just told us, Mark. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio on RBN. We'll be back with Mark Glenn of AFP. Stay tuned.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710, 312-224-2710.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our very special guest today is Mark Glenn of Crescent and Cross and also the American Free Press. You can find Crescent and Cross, I believe, at crescentandcross.com. And you can also find it on my links page at markdankoff.com. Go to the links page where you see the logo in the middle of my links page that has a crescent and cross. Just click on it, and it will take you to Mark's leading news stories today. I wanted to remind him, as well as all the listeners, that this tends to be a time in the next 10 minutes or so where there are some very frequent commercial interruptions and breaks. And I'll take this opportunity at this juncture to invite you to support the Republic Broadcasting Network, which you can do with your gifts at www.republicbroadcasting.org or by giving the office a call at 1-800-724-2719. That's www.republicbroadcasting.org or on the telephone at 1-800-724-2719. Also, through the Republic Broadcasting, you can obtain Aaron Russo's new DVD, America, Freedom to Fascism. That can be yours for $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling by contacting the network again at republicbroadcasting.org or at 1-800-724-2719. And through the next hour, if you have a question or a comment for Mark Glenn, you can jot down the call-in number, which is 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. Mark, we're going to be interrupted again for another commercial break here shortly. But in your piece, you have mentioned once again what I remember reading in the even the mainstream media at the time that it was talking about the Pollard case. Joseph DeGenova, who was the prosecutor who handled this whole thing with Pollard, labeled the damage done by Pollard's treason as, quote-unquote, beyond calculation. Casper Weinberger, the defense secretary at the time, weighed in as well with, quote, it is difficult for me to conceive of a greater harm than that caused by Pollard, unquote. His comments were capped by stating, quote, Pollard should be executed for what he did, unquote. I happen to agree with the former defense secretary, and it seems to me that when you look at those statements by DeGenova and by Weinberger, that some of what you have been outlining for us, Mark, would seem to be a possible case scenario that would help to explain the magnitude and the gravity of those statements by these high-level officials in regard to Pollard.
Yes. I mean, granted, I'm still somewhat of a young whippersnapper, as they say, so I wasn't around during the Rosenberg scandal. But with the amount of uproar that has occurred as a result of Pollard, there is real fear in the voices of these people who were in the know, that there is information that got out that puts the United States in serious direct danger. And I'm not just talking about theoretical danger that maybe 10 years down the road or something like that. It is something that is clear and present and direct. And so we can continue with this, I guess, after this.
We'll be back with Mark Glenn. This is Mark Dankos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.